We hear again from the appointed Gospel of Matthew 20. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour, in the ninth hour he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." In the name of Jesus. We've heard the parable. A vineyard owner hires laborers at different hours of the day and pays them all the full wage. So what does Jesus want us to see in this parable? None of us would think that Jesus wants us to see good farming management. Jesus didn't come to give himself on the cross for us to learn better agricultural techniques. None of us would think that Jesus was teaching us time management. Jesus didn't shed his blood to make us good schedulers, nor good managers of money, for that matter. So what then? When Jesus tells a parable, it's not to show us how to live a better life or be a better steward or anything like that. We can already know that from the commandments. We can even already know all that from the wisdom, the common daily wisdom of our world. When Jesus tells a parable, it is to reveal who he is. Jesus is on his way to the cross. He tells parables to unwrap what his crucifixion will accomplish for the sinner and how he will give gifts to the sinner. In the parables, Jesus is exposing the false views we have of him and revealing to us how we are given to see him rightly. So workers are called onto the vineyard at different hours of the day. When the day closes and it's time to settle accounts, first the owner of the vineyard pays each of those who worked just 1 hour at the end of the day a denarius, as if they had worked the full day. Then he pays each of those who worked a half day the same, a denarius, as if they had worked a full day, and so on. And then finally, those who worked a full day are paid a denarius. On its own, for you to be paid a denarius for working a full time or full day would make sense. The denarius is, after all, the standard pay for a full day's labor. If you're making a denarius a day, then you can feed and clothe your family and keep up your house. It's the standard pay. But then why were those who worked only a half day or who worked only a single hour paid the same? Matthew 20:10. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.'" So the purpose of the parable? To reveal who Jesus is and what he's doing, and to rule out false views of Jesus. Jesus replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Matthew 20:13. We look at the words of the vineyard owner. Do you begrudge my generosity? That is a bit of a loose translation. You can look it up in other translations. If you read it in a translation such as the King James Version, it comes out as, or is your eye evil because I am good? And that is tracking close to the Greek. Those who want the vineyard owner to pay according to the work, they have, Jesus would say, an evil eye. That is an eye, not looking for good, but trying to find the evil. An eye which looks at something not trying to find its giftedness, but scanning it for what might be wrong with it, so you can call it unfair. For Jesus, an evil eye is an eye which looks at him and judges him to be acting not according to the law. An eye looking at Jesus and missing his grace, which is why he came. In short, an evil eye is an eye reading everything according to the law and overlooking the gospel. It is then what he rules out. It's to look at Jesus not with an eye of a thankful receiver, but instead of a tight-fisted auditor trying to keep score. Jesus rules all that out. He rules out looking at him to find a new Moses, a new lawgiver, a teacher who's miserly and stingy with God's gifts. Do you begrudge my generosity? Jesus has the vineyard owner saying. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Jesus will not be handing out his gifts according to the counting of the law. He will do with his wealth as he chooses to do. Jesus will not be put under the measuring and frugality of those who want to keep an eye on whether he's distributing his gifts fairly. He will not let us make him stingy according to what we expect he should do if he's going to do it right. He's generous and abundant. He's gracious and overflowing in his giving of gifts. In his gospel, he is as unrestrained and unpredictable as a vineyard owner calling people to his vineyard at every hour of the day and giving everyone full pay regardless of how long they were there. Jesus gives gifts as he chooses. His gift is to walk to the cross and give his own blood as the ransom price for every sinner. His gift is his word of forgiveness, which he appoints to be proclaimed without price, to gather sinners into his vineyard, that is, into his church. In the church, then, he is freely and abundantly giving the gift of the washing of rebirth in holy baptism, calling every sinner to the gift of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And who will try to make him stingy, then, by saying that there are some he cannot baptize, whether because of age or of standing or anything else? In the church, he's overflowingly and without measure releasing sins and covering the sinner in the honor of his name. And who will try to make him into a tight-fisted manager by finding a sinner unworthy of his grace? In the church, he is abundantly and generously calling his people to the gift of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And who will try to make him miserly by saying we don't need this gift of his body and blood when he gathers us to his name? He wants to be known for his grace, for his giving of gifts, for his overflowingly and making no sense generosity. He refuses to be known as a vineyard owner who doles out payment according to what seems to be needed or what is earned, causing the sinner to justify himself then, which no sinner can do anyway. He has called you onto this vineyard. That's what it means to hear this parable for its gospel. That's what it means to be gathered into the church. He wants to be known by you as the abundant giver of gifts, the generous forgiver of sins, as the one who can never be tagged stingy or miserly, but as overflowing and filled with grace even beyond what makes sense, coming to you in his word and saying, take and eat my body. Take and drink my blood. Your sin is forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen.